Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, has confirmed that bookings have been paused on the state's mandatory hotel quarantine system. This is the brand new system that has only just been brought in. Sources have said that the pause will last for 4 days. Now, to discuss what this all means, I am joined by Eoin Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine. Eoin, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live.
Good afternoon, Sinead.
What is going on here?
We've run into another problem with quarantine, and it's the most predictable. They seem to have stumbled over almost every single tripwire that they could, and the capacity issue was going to be a problem right from the start. It was completely determined by what sort of countries were put on the list and what the criteria for putting sending people to quarantine would be. And once those became clear, capacity was going to be a problem.
Yeah, indeed. And it certainly seems to have been, or do you think it was to some extent like a knee-jerk reaction, a populist thing, because people were clamouring for quarantine systems?
Absolutely. And it goes back to January. There was a terrible fortnight in January when the numbers went from 100,000 to 200,000. Everybody was looking for some sort of instant fix. As we know, 200 countries around the world are all dealing with this, and there isn't any instant fix, but mandatory hotel quarantine and restrictions on travel, it looks like an instant fix. It's sort of the bad thing is out there, pull up the drawbridge, we're all safe inside. It is a lot more complex than that, and we've been discovering that over the last couple of weeks.
But is it? Because I'm thinking, if there's one thing we have in this hotel, in this country, more than anything else, it's hotels. I mean, we built hundreds and thousands of them over the years, and they're sitting there empty. I mean, what is the capacity of the system? Can it not be increased really quickly?
It could be, first of all, if you had willing hotels that wanted to get involved in this process. I don't think that the point I was making is to do with the capacity of the hotels. The point really is how effective this would be in achieving any of the lofty ideals that it's been set out for. What we had was a company, the TIFCO company, with capacity of about, they put 600 rooms into the system. They could get that up maybe to a few more, 100 more. What we ended up with is a requirement for much more. So another hotel, quite a distance from the airport, will be put into the system on Monday. They're seeking hotels down in Rosslare. At the moment, anyone requiring hotel quarantine is bussed up from Rosslare. That is creating all sorts of problems, because anybody with a hotel in Rosslare is interested in leisure traffic and the summer. And there aren't that many other places to turn. The contracts that are being offered for this, from a hotelier's point of view, there's money to be made, because you don't have to sell all the rooms. The taxpayer will pick up quite a substantial amount, will pay a substantial amount for unsold rooms, but it is short term enough. Contracts being offered for 1 month and also for 3 months. And then when the way the contract is drawn up is a classic political contract, that all the risk and all the blame is parked with the hotel. They're supposed to do the transportation, the security, all of those things that hotels are not used to and not very good at. Hotels are designed for getting out of rather than keeping people in. So all of that risk has been parked with the hotel. It's a big question. When they are expanding the number of countries, when they're putting categories in there that some of the people arriving are surprised to find in there, people who've been vaccinated. We've two of the highest, the two of the countries in the world, the two countries that lead in terms of vaccination of their population are both on the list.
Israel.
And Israel and United Arab Emirates. Israel will be coming off it, I think, tomorrow. But it's quite a surprise for people from Israel, where they vaccinated more than three quarters of the population, to be arriving in Ireland and find they have to do mandatory hotel quarantine.
Indeed, because it seems to me that if, I mean, we were told all along the strategy now for COVID isn't lockdowns, it's not the own thing, it's the vaccine, the vaccine, the vaccine. Here's a country that has the vaccine and we're shoveling people into hotels. I had my own theory on this, is because they put Israel on the list because Palestine was on the list. But what do I know?
The other thing is transfer passengers. That was a surprise. If you were coming from Australia or New Zealand and you transferred through Dubai, which a lot of people do, you're now a red list country. And that's that probably is the one that created the most extras. Now, there's another thing, Sinead, that kicks in, that you are a good experienced traveller would be very familiar with. The classic way of travelling long haul was to book with a carrier like Emirates, Etihad, Qatar, Turkish. You get off one flight, you get on another. A lot of people are actually booking two separate tickets because that's the way pricing, everything like that works. And that certainly has caused a problem. The people who haven't, if you're getting on a flight in Australia at the moment and you're flying through Dubai, they will look for evidence that you've booked your mandatory hotel quarantine in Ireland. Mm. A lot of people have just turned around, went home and rebooked through another destination.
But that makes a whole heap of sense. So, for instance, you have a major European hub like Amsterdam, Schiphol, not on the list.
That's right.
You travel from a banned country, let's say America, you travel into Schiphol, rebook any one of the numerous flights going to Ireland and just say, I've come from Amsterdam. I mean, it just is ridiculous. Now, Owen, tell me a little bit.
That's illegal though, Sinead.
Is it though?
That's really important.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. If you lie about where you've come from, you're dealing with very severe penalties.
Okay, so there's some structure on that.
There is structure to it. It's not, you know, oddly enough, it's not that easy to get away with in modern Ireland, where all the policing is being done by teenagers with mobile phones rather than guys in blue uniforms. But the other side of that is if you fly through Paris, France is being added to the list. A lot of people fly through Charles de Gaulle.
Yeah.
You've come from a clean country with a low rate. You're going to Ireland, and because you've come through Charles de Gaulle Airport, you are now in mandatory hotel quarantine.
Yeah,
the same applies to Dubai. The same applies to Istanbul as of tomorrow. The same applies to Doha. While Amsterdam isn't on the list, or Frankfurt, anybody transferring through the American airports, and a lot of South American people would come in that way, they're all on that list. It's a bit of a surprise, and nobody else is doing mandatory hotel quarantine.
Okay.
Absolutely
right.
Nobody.
Well, let me ask you a practical question then for the next few days. So we have flights, I presume they came in this morning from Boston, from New York, from a whole other load of destinations. And
don't have to quarantine today.
Okay.
Have to quarantine tomorrow.
Right. So Stephen Donnelly now has said no more bookings can be made for the next few days. We don't know exactly how long. And they're asking the airlines to police this and make sure that nobody gets on the flight. Now, I understand Aer Lingus came out and made a statement saying, yes, OK, we'll do that. But you can't expect United or Delta, or I don't know even how Ryanair feel about that, to police it. What sense do you have, Owen, about how that's going to work?
It's not a problem. They are already doing it. You know, if you book on an Emirates flight, for instance, and Emirates, it does apply to at the moment, you won't get on. You will need evidence at the check-in desk that you have booked your mandatory hotel quarantine. Where it has come up is, let's say you've come off a flight and the Ryanair person in Amsterdam or London doesn't know where you've come from. That's where it's difficult for an airline to police it. But the airlines, the aviation industry does things by the book. I mean, they're subject to international laws, or sorry, to individual laws in all the countries they fly to.
Right.
They obey them. And they don't endanger their crew as well. It's really important that they keep, you know, flying through this crisis without endangering their own personnel.
Mm.
But where the airlines have been able to, and are very, the Aer Lingus have been doing this in any red list country that they would fly to. This is the first time they've been challenged on it, because the United States is now there. They would always do that. Emirates will always do it. Etihad will always do it. As I say, the book, we don't have a lot of data as to how many people are not doing the connecting flight thing. They're what they call in the trade self-connecting. We don't have a lot of data on that. The other thing we don't have a lot of data on, because all the information the feed is coming from the Department of Justice on this, okay, not to the aviation industry, right, is how many people are turning up in Dublin Airport that are supposed to have presented a negative PCR and didn't, or presented a negative PCR that wasn't validated.
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of that going on. There's not a lot, but there's a little bit of that. I've heard of people turned away at Ryanair check-in desks because the person at the check-in didn't believe their negative PCR. You're not getting on a flight without a negative PCR. But okay, yet, Stephen Donnelly's saying people are walking, are arriving in Dublin Airport that need to be booked into hotel quarantine at short notice.
All right.
That says to me that some people are getting on with a negative PCR that doesn't check out, okay, or without a PCR at all.
It does seem a little chaotic. I am speaking with Eoghan Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine, here on Lunchtime Live on News Talk. Now, look, folks, if you've had experience of coming into the airport, sailing through, being stopped when you shouldn't have been stopped, into quarantine, do give us a call. Let us know, because we'd like to hear what's actually going on the ground today. 531-106 for a text, 1890-453-106. And we will be talking to the wife of a man who is currently in quarantine at the moment, just after 1 o'clock. Owen, let me bring you some texts on this issue. Like any business dealing with government, hotels see a money tree taxpayer. TDs and ministers walk away with pensions. Okay, well, that's kind of a wider thing. Another text from somebody, it's bonkers. Can we not just get the message, don't travel? We've a worldwide pandemic. Are people just foolish or self-serving? It's saying we're not open in Ireland without saying it. It's a temporary measure. Owen, there has been a little bit of whataboutery, as we've seen kind of some individual cases of people, I suppose, being shamed because of some type of travel that they're doing and arriving back in the country. But there are people that absolutely have to travel. I mean, do you need to be an elite rugby player or an Erasmus student to get outside these rules?
It's shocking, the shaming. It's shocking to see people ending up in Mountjoy. It's shocking to see the sort of online and the texts that have been said about people. We are down, Sinead, at almost probably below subsistence level in what we need to keep connected with the world, to keep trading with the world. If the Eurocontrol do a survey of their 40 members and they compare the aviation routes with what they were 2 years ago, we're the second bottom. We have been the bottom the last 2 weeks. Somebody, I think, went under us this week. But we are the country that has done most to disconnect with the rest of the world since this began. So people saying, and you've just heard a few people saying, we don't need any travel, are misreading. First, two things. They're misreading how effective this will be in achieving the lofty ideals. The number of imported cases is less than 1%. So even if you disconnect, you're not going to do anything about our existing cases. And you probably won't let won't keep the variant out, because the variant has been getting through to people who have completely disconnected. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, we're in no position to disconnect, because we need to keep operating.
Yeah.
Our two biggest export markets are the USA and Belgium. They're both on the red list. France and Italy are number 8 and 9. Now, if you sort of say, okay, elite athletes, all of those, we can do without those. But the health service, 43% of our health employees are from abroad. Phil Nihay is talking about the difficulty of getting people in from the Philippines for our INMO this morning. The Pakistan and India is where a lot of our doctors come from. So if we start winding down our own health employees who come from outside of Ireland, it's not the 1940s. It's not comely maidens at the crossroads. It's not, we're not able to, potatoes and porridge. We are an international nation at the center of a major trade network. Almost all our employees come from some export-led and foreign direct investment-led. And when you start messing your texture is of, it's a very simple and in a very pure motive that they're expressing. Stop travel, pull the drawbridge up. The bad thing stays out there. We're in there. Okay. But bits of the economy stop working that you don't expect.
No, I think that's
and
fair.
And once you start messing with it, it all comes, it can unravel very quickly.
Indeed. It is a little bit more complicated than maybe the one-liner that you can think about that. Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel Magazine. I am sure you will be talking about this many, many times while it is sorted out. And thank you very much for joining us here on Lunchtime Live here on News Talk. Terry Krushke is in County Cork and joins me on the line. Terry, you're very welcome along to the show today. Why did you get in contact?
My husband basically is in the States at the moment. He had to go over a couple of weeks ago for a bereavement. And in the midst of all of this, we got the PCR test. We did everything right. He's in the States. And then the quarantine came up last weekend. The U.S. basically was added to the list. So we're like, okay, we can do this. We can do quarantine. He's meant to arrive this Friday. But then in the midst of that, we couldn't book. The U.S. wasn't on the list. And now all of a sudden we're being told if he arrives on Friday, supposedly a walk-in, and what's going to happen because he may not have a place until Monday.
Okay, so when he went over to attend a funeral, he didn't realise he'd have to quarantine on the way back. Or he did? Did he know that?
No, you see, because at that time, the US was not on the
list.
So he's been gone for a couple of weeks.
So when he went over there, okay, he didn't know it was going to be on the list. Then it was put on the list and now he's not able to book into a hotel. Is that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an awful dicey predicament for him to be in. How did he find out about that, first of all? Was he notified by his airline? Did somebody send him an email from the Department of Justice or what happened?
No, it was basically through, because he's over on bereavement, but he's checking in with work. They've been so kind to help him to navigate what he needs to get over and to get back into the country. So he was informed by somebody from his work to say, look, you'll need to quarantine. So then we looked into that. And now we're being told the quarantine system has been paused. So this is Wednesday. He's meant to travel Thursday to arrive in Ireland on Friday. So we had made the decisions, you know, we'll do the quarantine, we'll do the booking. But when we tried to book last weekend, the U.S. wasn't on the list.
Okay,
so now we're trying to book and the U.S.
And the hotels aren't on the list.
The hotels aren't on the list.
Okay, so what you're saying is that he is happy to abide by the rules, to come home, to quarantine for up to 2 weeks, which I presume would have an impact on his work and on your family life and all of that. And now he can't find a hotel that can take him. What's he going to do, Terry?
That is why we've contacted you.
because we actually
don't know. We don't know. Is he going to be kept in America until Monday? Is he going to fly to his connecting flight in the Netherlands and be told, you have to stay in the Netherlands now from Friday to Monday? Will he be like Viktor Navorsky in the terminal where he's stuck in Dublin Airport for 3 days? So we actually have no idea what's going to happen. And especially because it was a bereavement, is there compassionate ground because he has a home in Ireland? We're Irish citizens. Could he come home and self-isolate?
Now, of course, we are hearing of some exemptions to the rule. Your husband isn't by any chance an elite rugby player, is he?
No, right. Unfortunately not.
He's not an Erasmus student in doing a third level degree and taking a year out, is he?
He's not, no.
Right, okay. It doesn't look as if he's going to make those exemptions then, because they seem to be the most important people that we want back in the country without quarantining. So Terry, is he left in that situation that is he going to get on the plane now? Because, I mean, I presume there's a financial cost as well. If he doesn't travel, will he get his money back from the airline? Can he swap out his seat? Or is he just going to kind of take the trip and see what happens?
And that's where I'm not sure, because literally this morning when I woke up, I didn't have information from him. So he actually contacted the quarantine hotels by email and they have given him no response. So I was really careful to, will I call the Department of Foreign Affairs? What will I do? So I decided to contact News Talk because maybe we can get some answers now that he's awake, I'm awake. We have about, you know, 8-9 hours before now I retire for the night. And can we figure something out so that we can make a plan? Because right now, we're not sure what to do.
Okay, and I'm not sure what to do either. I don't know. And I, from what we heard from Owen Curry, who is the travel expert on this earlier in the show, is that he won't be allowed board the flight until he can prove that he has hotel quarantine set up. So that would seem to indicate to me that he's stuck over in the States. Does he have somewhere to stay? You have family over there?
Well, not in the place where he is right now. Mm. He doesn't. So it would either be, but I suppose the question is he's not flying Aer Lingus from America, say to his connecting flight. So he could probably get that far and maybe stay somewhere in Europe. But I'm not sure. So he may have to do that. He may have to postpone the flight.
Yeah,
it's really hard to know.
It's very unsatisfactory. We have reached out to the Department of Health and the Department of Foreign Affairs, and hopefully before the end of the show, we will have some information. So you should stay tuned, Terry, and listen. I wish your husband the best. And I know that we were talking earlier about somebody had texted in and say nobody should be traveling and close down all the airlines. But I mean, just as in your husband's case, people have to go places, whether it's for essential work or in your case, a family bereavement that he felt he needed to be there. How is he feeling, Terry?
He's very stressed. On top of, this is his second parent who's passed away. I've had both of my parents pass away since I've moved to Ireland. This is his second. So we have had to do this. In 2010, when my husband's grandmother died, there was the volcano in Iceland. So was he going to get over to America? When he was in America, was he going to get back? So this isn't the first time that we've had to deal with this. When you move internationally, these are the challenges. And yes, we took the risk. So this is where we're going to follow the rules, and we'll see where he ends up over the weekend. At this point, we don't know.
Okay, well, listen, the very, very best of luck with that. And if we have any news on that, of course, we will bring it to you, Terry, although you'd hope that it would be made available to your husband personally. All right. Now, Elizabeth is also on the line from Meath. Elizabeth, what's your issue with this whole thing?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My issue is just that about 2 weeks ago, before my daughter went to Nigeria, Nigeria wasn't on the list then. She went for a bereavement as well. Nigeria wasn't on the list, which would have been a determining factor for her to go or not. So while she was in Nigeria, Nigeria came up on the list. She did the PCR test before going. She did it in Nigeria. She did it coming back. She arrived back into the States on Sunday, and she is in the hotel as we speak, and she's done another HSC PCR test, which came back negative. So my question is, so why keeping them in the hotel if the test came back negative? These are people looking for, like the last caller, they're looking for a hotel. The hotel is not available because they are keeping those that are negative still in the hotel. I'm of the impression that if people negative are let go, that will make room for more people to come in, number one. Number two, she complained that for mental stability, they get only 15 minutes to walk in a small car park. And I think it looks like a torture there as well.
Now, you make a really good point there, actually, Elizabeth, because I understood that if you tested negative after a few days in the quarantine hotel, that you would be allowed out. In other words, you're arriving with a negative test. So, I mean, I can understand the people hopping off a plane with no test whatsoever and nobody knows if they've got COVID, and it's quite right to stick them in a hotel and wait. But for somebody like your daughter who did have a negative test and then had another negative test, what would you like to see happen?
I would like even to decongest the hotel, that when they get to the States and they are tested and the test comes back as negative, that they should be let to go home, even if it means going to quarantine further at home, but not anymore in the hotel, because this, the most authentic testing would be the one from HSC. She sent that to me on my phone yesterday that came back from the HSC that there's no traces of COVID. She's completely negative. And between her going to Nigeria and coming back and in Ireland, she has done 4 COVID tests so far.
4 and all negative?
Yeah.
Okay. Negative. And what implication is this having on her, Elizabeth? Because how long does she have left to do now in the hotel?
She just went into the hotel on Sunday and it's not counted until Monday. So
right.
I heard.
So she's got another
if you really want to, yeah, if you really want to look at it, she's just in the hotel for 3 days. But she told me that, Mom, it's a torture.
All right. She
that they only allowed 15 minutes walk during the day, the whole day. So they're stuck in their room and just only allowed to walk around for 15 minutes and in a small car park.
Yeah.
So before you go to Lassie's, your 15 minutes is done and you are tucked back in like a prisoner.
Now, I suppose that one of the worries would be that people, you say your daughter is more than happy to quarantine at home. But of course, there would be some people, Elizabeth, who would say that and then be allowed out of the hotel and sure they wouldn't quarantine at all. And I presume there's an argument that we need to say we need to protect everybody.
Exactly. See, I'm a frontline worker and she has to do that for my sake. The dad has an underlying medical condition as well for his sake. So she still has to quarantine if she goes back home. And even for her job, she's they gave her the opportunity to work from home. So she's been law-abiding. It's just that one of us, in this case, she has to be there since none of us could go to this funeral. One of us has to be there. That's why she volunteered to go. And
to
we
represent.
All agreed because, we all agreed because Nigeria wasn't on the list. On last Saturday, I was listening to the radio and said something about a variant in Nigeria. There's no variant in Nigeria. Nigerians are moving freely.
Yeah.
Even though she said she didn't take any chances, she was wearing a mask. She went with enough hand sanitizer from here and her mask, and she was all the while keeping herself, washing her hands. And you believe that because she did the test and it came back negative.
Okay, and she's had 4 negative tests, as you say. All right.
Yes.
And of course, your point is valid that she's taking up the space, you say, of maybe somebody who could be in that hotel who really, really needs to, who may not have a negative test like your daughter does. All right. Elizabeth, thanks a million for getting in touch with us. It's really, I think it's humanising this whole story. We look at statistics, we look at countries, we look at lists, we look at our numbers. And actually, there's a personal story behind each of those people that are in those hotels. Now, we were also contacted here on Lunchtime Live by Mark from Kildare. Mark, tell us a little bit about your issue with this.
Hi, how's it going? I was a student in the United States university system, and then I actually worked in the system too as well for about 16 years and came back about 3 years ago and started up a business actually helping Irish student athletes find scholarships to America. And right now at the moment, we're about probably 2 weeks away from that university's finishing up their semesters and this kind of becoming a real issue for a lot of student athletes as well as regular students in the American system. And look, it's reassuring to know that maybe they're going to be able to get on this compassionate grounds list and provide them maybe an opportunity to get their hotel quarantine paid for. But it's going to put them in a really, really tough bind here because, you know, they're going to be faced with an issue is do they pay for that hotel quarantine, come home or do they stay in America and cover the cost of being there for a few weeks or months till this changes? With that being the issue is you know, there's obviously visa restrictions when it comes to working and staying there for the summer and what students are allowed to do. And, you know, it's a very tricky situation. And it's one that I think in the next couple of weeks, I'm helping a ton of athletes, student athletes out there. And I know it's going to become certainly something that's going to have to be addressed for me, for them, you know.
How many students are we talking about, Mark? roughly?
Well, I'm currently helping around 30 students,
and right.
some already over there, some going, and then but there's actually over about, you know, there's close to 300 student athletes, just student athletes in University of America, and I don't know the figure off my head of how many other students are out there, but I'm sure there's just as many.
Yeah. You see, I'm automatically thinking now of listeners maybe today sitting in their cars or at home listening to Lunchtime Live and going, hold on a second, 300 people come from the States. No, thank you. And maybe they feel, look, Irish or not, they should be quarantining. And that's exactly why this system was brought in, to protect the rest of us against maybe coming from a country that for a very, very long time had the worst effect of COVID. I mean, why are they extra special, do you think?
Well, I think the good news is some of them have had the opportunity to receive the vaccination.
Okay.
And they've been very fortunate. Not all of them. So I guess that's one less person for us to vaccinate if they come back. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying is they shouldn't be exempt, but you know, maybe there's a more creative way to allow them to be able to come back here safely and not have to have this like tough situation where, okay, did they pay the hotel quarantine fee, which, you know, some of these students, you know, not all of them are on full scholarships. Some of them pay serious fees every single semester to be able to attend those universities. Or, you know, again, do they run the risk of staying in America and having to potentially try to find work there to get them by for the next couple of weeks before they don't have to go to hotel quarantine,
yeah.
You know?
All right. And as you say, that might
bring up
other issues to do with visas and all that kind of stuff as well. All right. Mark, thank you very much for getting in touch with Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.